Let us pray. Lord, as we think about your word and meditate on what it means for us, may we know your presence with us, and may you guide us forward into another year. Amen. It's a familiar story that Jeff's just read, one that we've all known since childhood. Indeed, as children, we probably were in nativities where we may well have been a wise man, if not a sheep or a cow or something else. Wise men who parade around with their hats falling off and their cloaks around their necks, not in the right way. All the excitement of the nativity and all the simplicity, it seems, of the wise men and the shepherds coming to the infant king. And that these stories aren't actually that simple. They can be quite complex. Who were these wise men? We don't actually know. There clearly were people who studied the stars, who came from the east, from out in Persia and Babylon in those days, I suppose. Iraq nowadays, somewhere around there. They came traveling miles, difficult country, difficult terrain, with camels perhaps, perhaps not, but they may well have had camels, traveling to follow a star that they had seen, because they were people, as we read, who studied the stars. In those days there were, still are, in parts of the world, people who find great messages in the stars. And they were quite clear that there was a new star that meant a new child, a new king had been born. A king for the Jews. So they traveled. And we read of them coming to the place where they thought they would find a new king. The palace in Jerusalem. It was where Herod lived, surrounded by his advisors, his spads, we'd call them today. He was there, his advisors were there, but not a king. And so we find the story begins to get a bit intriguing. What was going on? What was behind all of this? And so we find, as the story progresses, new insight into the king who was born, King of the Jews. It's a story, it's a kind of play almost, that has three acts to it. The first act is there in Jerusalem, where the wise men arrive with Herod. His advisors gathered all around, the experts in the law, the leaders of the state, all gathered around the king to give him the advice that they would need. And so the wise men asked their question, where will the Messiah, the new king, be born? Now that wasn't really a very difficult question for the wise advisors, because they did, at least, know the Old Testament books, their law. And they knew that in the prophets it had foretold that the king would be born, the new Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. Micah had said, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel, whose family line goes back to ancient times. So they knew the king would be born in Bethlehem. And they knew that his family line would go back to ancient times. That's why Matthew earlier in his gospel goes through a whole list of the genealogy of Joseph, taking it back to Boaz and Ruth, and then even further back to Abraham. This king was definitely going to be born in Bethlehem. They all knew that. But there were two different reactions to the message that the king would be born in Bethlehem. One was the reaction of the leaders and the wise people around Herod, and the other was the reaction of our wise men. One were ready to search, to look, to find. They'd already come miles over many, many continents or countries. The other didn't really want to be bothered. They just wanted to stay in their privileged positions, surrounding King Herod, telling him what he wanted to know. So Herod and his friends, the ones who ought to have known when God was acting, they chose to ignore it all. Whereas the people from afar, who didn't really understand all that was going on, they kept searching. They kept looking. The one group had become complacent. They were comfortable. And they'd become used to the idea that there weren't many messages coming from God, so they weren't looking for them. Religion for them had become a gateway to power and influence, and they didn't really want anything else. The religious leaders failed to notice when the Christ child was born. It disturbs me sometimes that we too can become content with our power and our privilege, because we all have it to some degree. It's easy for us to follow those who couldn't even be bothered to walk from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. It's about 7 miles, but in those days that was a decent walk. It wasn't anything that really they were that concerned about. They had what they knew, and it gave them a good life, and that was all that mattered. But is that where we really find Jesus? In the complacency of our religiosity? Or do we find Jesus when we're disturbed, when we're troubled, when we're even annoyed? Do we find Jesus when we look out to the displaced people of the world, the vulnerable people of the world, the people who have nowhere to turn? Is that where we find Jesus? The wise men were prepared to search and to look and to be disturbed, discomforted. They were prepared to take risks so that they might find the newborn king. The others, they just went back to their normal lifestyles and weren't too concerned. In the second act then, the wise men and Herod and his friends, they separate. The wise men continue on their journey. Herod had no intention of going anywhere. But the wise men were anxious to get on the road again, because the star was beginning to move, and it had moved over to Bethlehem. Even though Herod knew the king would be born there, it was the wise men from the east who had no background in Judaistic thought. They were the ones who were ready to follow the star until it stopped over a stable, the only place where Joseph and Mary could find refuge that night. Child in the manger, infant of Mary, outcast and stranger, Lord of all. When the travelers found the baby after their long journey, they were surprised, no doubt. And yet they reacted in the only way that was possible. They bowed down to worship him. They knew now, they knew immediately that this was someone to be worshipped, This was a gift of God. And so they brought their gifts to the baby, their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They all have their individual meanings, but the point is that the wise men had come ready to worship. They had come with that attitude of worship, of adoration. They hadn't come looking for someone to give them a little more power and a little more influence. They had come opening themselves to this new experience. The experience of finding the new king. It is as we humbly bow in worship before the one whom we know came in Bethlehem. It is then that we find our lives transformed, our lives renewed, our lives prepared for the road ahead, the next stage in the journey. Our lives prepared to move forward into a new year because we worship the humble God who came to be with us. Sometimes we end the story there, often the nativities end there. But of course the story doesn't really, because there's a third act to this intriguing drama. Herod thinks he's got the wise men on his side, so he's going to learn where the baby is to be born, or was born. And so he tells them that they should come back and report to him so that he can go and worship. He, of course, had no intention of going to worship. He had other things in his mind. But fortunately, the wise men had some kind of vision or inspiration. It told them not to go back to Herod, to go back home another way. And so Herod became angry, as everybody knew he would. Shortly after the birth of Jesus, we don't know how long after, but sometime after, Joseph and Mary packed up again to go on another journey, away from Bethlehem this time. They ended up in Egypt. They were among the displaced people of their time. They went there because they knew that it wasn't safe for them to be in Judea while Herod was king. And so they stayed in Egypt until Herod died. And then they came back and started their new lives in Nazareth. Sometimes, you know, today when I hear people talk about asylum seekers and migrants and those kind of people, I think they're talking about Jesus. And I don't like it. I don't like what I hear. Because Jesus was a migrant. Jesus sought asylum, or his parents did, in Egypt. Sometimes we need to remember that it is among the poor and the vulnerable and the displaced that we meet with Jesus. So where do we find the newborn king? Among the rich and powerful? Well, he could well be there, but sometimes it's hard to find him there. Among the religiously learned? Well, we can learn things from those who are more experienced religiously than we are. They have something to teach us, but we don't always find Jesus there. Or do we find him among vulnerable people who are just trying to live their lives as best they can, like Joseph and Mary? Perhaps it's in our response to them that we find the newborn king. I don't know if you'll have sung this Christmas one of the great Christmas hymns. It doesn't feel all that appropriate in our milder climate. But in the bleak midwinter is one that we often sing. I suppose it was bleak enough, but there wasn't much frosty wind moaning around. There's wind, but it wasn't frosty. But it's the last verse of that poem, really, by Christina Rossetti, that I think we should always remember, whatever the weather outside. If I were, what shall I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would play my part. But what I have, I give him. Give my heart. It is when we search among the vulnerable of the world, when we give our hearts to them, that we find the King. Let us pray. Lord God, help us to know you, help us to find you, and help us at this Christmas time to bring our gifts of time and energy, our talents, and our finances. May we leave them in the stable, among the straw, where we find Jesus. Amen.